Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus, chapter 23. We're going to read four verses here together. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll read verse 27. We're going to read verses 27 through 30 together. Exodus 23, verses 27 through 30. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. Then we're going to turn to one other verse when we get through with these. Exodus 23, verses 27 through 30. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. That's just a few books to the right there. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're going to read one verse in this chapter, verse number 22. And we'll read this all together in unison. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse number 22. All right. If you haven't found it yet, just look intelligently and mumble like everybody else. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 22. Ready? And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. And let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the word of God. Lord, I'm so glad that it's not my words. Lord, my words would be tainted by sin. My words would not help everyone, but your words do. Thank you that it is all truth and the source of truth. Now, God, I pray that you'd help us today. We stand before you needy, and we need to hear from you today. And may we get from heaven what we need to live here on earth today. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. The Bible says here in Exodus 23 that the Jews were about to go into the promised land, and God makes a very, very interesting statement. He said, and I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. Watch this. Lest the land become desolate, and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee. Deuteronomy chapter 7 says virtually the same thing. It says, by little and little will I drive them out. I have to tell you a funny story that happened to me this week. I had this sermon prepared for weeks. I've been ready. I was driving back to the church Friday from picking some things up for this weekend. It was real nice and cool Friday morning, remember? I had my truck windows open. I had Brother Hiles screaming and hollering at me on a tape. It was going at it. I'm driving up Route 9 coming this way, got past the jail where it turned into the 65-mile-an-hour lane there, and all of a sudden, heaven did not come down and glory did not fill my soul. Something got a hold of my ear and started chomping. It was a hornet. That thing hit me three times before I could get it off. And the worst part was when you're going 65 mile an hour and one of those things is in your ear chewing, try not to wreck the truck at the same time. I'm pow, 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 pow. It was not a happy sight, let me tell you. I got it off the road. I got the hornet out of my ear. Let me tell you, that did not feel good. I was laughing my head off. I came in, I was hurt, but I was laughing because I had just finished outlining this sermon this week where it said, I will send hornets before thee. I said, that's not funny, God. Now, wait a minute. 3 o'clock this morning, the pain's gone and now the itching has begun. I about rubbed my ear off at 3 o'clock this morning, let me tell you. The Jews had been in slavery to the Egyptians for hundreds of years. God raised up a leader, a man named Moses, to lead them out. I want you to understand where the Jews are at this moment. They have seen the 10 plagues. They have watched God bring lice and flies and frogs and the murrain on the cattle and all the and turn the water to blood and all the different of the plagues. They've seen the death angel come. The firstborn of all them have died that did not obey in the Passover. They have been chased out of the land of Egypt. They faced the Red Sea. They had the Egyptian army behind them, the Red Sea before them. They saw God through Moses as Moses lifted his rod according to God's command. They watched God part the Red Sea and the wind dried the land between them. And all that night, the land underneath the Red Sea was dried up. By the way, it wasn't just a pathway wide enough for about a half a dozen people to get through. 3.5 to 5 million people had to cross through that. The Bible says that the water was stored up in heaps on either side. You say, what are you talking about? Man, it was backed up and piled high. Amen. The Jews went across on dry ground. The Egyptians said, they made it. We'll try it too. They got out in the middle. God said, Moses, raise your rod. He raised his rod again, and the Egyptians went blub, blub in the bottom of the deep blue sea. Amen. God killed them all. Now, wait a minute. They watched that all happen. They watched as Mount Sinai became like a cloud and a smoke on fire, and Moses went up. Moses had spent 40 days in the presence of God, took two tables of stone up there, and God took his finger and wrote on those tables of stone. By the way, wrote more than just the Ten Commandments. He also gave the blueprints for the tabernacle and other things. But God took his own finger and wrote in the tables of stone. You say, no, Moses wrote that. Moses didn't write it. God did. See, if Moses wrote it when he came back down and everybody was worshiping the golden calf and he broke them, Moses could have just recopied them. Moses had to go up and spend 40 more days with God to let God do it again. Because those are God's words, not man's words. They have seen all of that. They saw the pillar of cloud by day that God used to lead them, but also to cool them. See, they were in what we call the Sinai Peninsula, where Saudi Arabia is. That's where the Jews were wandering for 40 years. God would allow a cloud to hover over them to keep them cool by day. And at night, he would turn that upside down, and there was a pillar of fire. If you've ever been out in the desert in the middle of the summer, it gets cold. It doesn't matter. There's nothing there to hold the heat. So they needed warmed up at night. And he used that pillar of fire at night, not just to lead them, but to warm them. And the pillar of cloud by day to keep them cool and to lead them. You see, God's plan for the Jews was to only be in that wilderness a little while. He said, I want you to leave and I'll get you ready. And you can go straight into the promised land. And I want you to do that. Now, they did not listen and they did not obey God. It took them 40 years. But that's why in the book of Deuteronomy, it says the very same thing. By little and by little will you take the land. Now, you say, why? Don't you think they could have gone in and just conquered the land? They could have. But God said, I'll not do that. That's not best for you. I want you to notice in Exodus 23, I love what it says. Verse 29, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. Whew. In 1 year. Grace Baptist Church, today is our 1 year anniversary. Guess what? The work for Grace Baptist Church is not done. We're just getting started. Everything that we've needed to conquer hasn't taken place in 1 year. Say why? Because God's plan of growth is little by little. See, I call the sermon today, God's Plan for Growth. God's plan for growth in just about every aspect of life is little by little. I have a statement that I adopted about, 20, 25 years ago. Anything that starts as an explosion ends in disintegration. I call it Roman candle Christianity. it goes up and makes a big splash, but it doesn't last very long, and then you don't ever see it again. I've watched a lot of churches start real big, and within a year, they're fizzled and gone. Say why? Because they had a record attendance opening up. Guess what? They couldn't keep it going. I was in Bible college. Some guy started a church out west. He announced he had gotten a couple of Hollywood people to come to his grand opening. Had over 1,000 people his first Sunday. He had 9 the second Sunday. By the time the church was 6 weeks old, he folded it up and said, I can't do this. Well, he had 1,000 to start with. Yeah, they came to see personalities. They didn't come to hear the preaching. They didn't do it God's way. Most real growth in any area of life is little by little. Let me show you what I mean. A child. Hey, mamas, it takes you 9 months before that puppy's big enough to hatch. It doesn't grow all at one time. And you mamas are really glad, amen? Some of you wished it was more like the Polaroid, you know, Instamatic, bump, and there it is. But it doesn't work that way. It grows a little by little. Now, some grow a little more than others grow. Some grow a little less. But even after that thing hatches, guess what? It's still a long time till it grows. Y'all maybe didn't do what we did with our kids and what I did growing up, but man, we used to, every once in a while, we'd want to know how much we grew. So we'd put a line and draw it on the door, you know, on the side of the door, put the date down. I can remember going day after day after day after day, and I didn't grow. Say why? I wasn't growing fast enough. But boy, you wait a couple months and do it, and you see just a little bit of increase there. You know, sometimes you're trying to stand on your toes, and dad's pushing your head down or whatever, you know. Now, wait a minute. We don't grow real fast. Now, that if you pass the age of 40, you grow fast in a different way. At least that's what Brother Hawkins said. Now, wait a minute. Growth takes years. Sometimes growth takes decades. I remember about, 10 years ago, I pulled a couple trees out of my front yard and I put 2 brand new Bradford pears in. Put those things in, they were about that tall, about 6.5 foot tall. Now, they're as tall as my house. But it's taken 10 years to get them there. I can't ever go out there and tell you I see the growth. But if I look back at where they started from, I can show you the growth. You don't see the growth. You say, why? Because it happens little by little. If you plant a garden, you don't put the seed in the ground, and it's all bearing fruit the next day, as we taught in Sunday school this morning. It grows a little by little. Those of you that are businessmen and work in the business world, and ladies that work in business, businesses aren't built instantly. They grow a little at a time. I've watched businesses shoot out and take off. Guess what? Most of those don't last. Now listen very carefully here. God tells us that he wants us to be able to handle the success that is before us. Notice he said, I will not drive them out in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little, I will drive them out before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Do you know if you're not careful, you can become so successful you destroy yourself? Do you know that your character is tested not just when you have nothing, but when you're successful? Look to D.C. You have very successful people who cannot handle their power. And now we have power-hungry government. Say why? The government grew and they could not handle the power. Parents, everybody look at me for a second here. Let me help you. Be careful giving your kids everything in life. Make them earn it. Say why? We've got kids now that have more than some married couples had before they've been married. And I'm not against you if you did this. I'm glad for you if you had this ability. But I think, you know, when I was growing up, I remember my brother's about 3.5 years older than I. He turned 16. My dad said, you can have a car anytime you want. He said, I can. He said, yeah, you go buy it and you pay the bills. Now that puts a different light on the subject. And my brother bought a car. He'd worked and worked and worked and worked, bought a car. A 1950 Ford Crestliner with a flathead V8. That thing was a tank with wheels. It didn't start. We had to push it up and down the driveway to start the stupid thing. I'll never forget that. You could put about 8 people in the trunk of that car. You say, how do you know? Don't ask. I mean, it was a beast, let me tell you. Then he got about a 68 Torino with a 351 in it and put a Holley 4-pumper on the top of that thing and it would scream, let me tell you. But we won't go there either. Now, wait a minute. I remembered. My dad said, Craig, you want a car too? You better believe it, Dad. He said, good, you better get busy working so you can pay for one when you turn 16. He said, and you're going to pay for your own insurance and you're going to pay your own gas. I remember the first car I got, a 1966 Mercury Comet, midnight blue. And the whole front end was toast on that thing. We had to weld a piece of angle iron on it just to hold the front end together. You know, you step on the brake and it goes, and you're fighting that thing. Now, wait a minute. I've watched kids that I graduated from high school with, when they turned 16, moms and dads went out and bought them a brand new car. Now, you say, boy, weren't they lucky? No, I was the lucky one. I understood what it meant to earn what I had. I watched those kids trash a brand new car, and I was just praying to keep mine started, amen? You say, why? Because I think it's good for us to teach our young people to earn things. Some of you might get mad at me, but I'll understand why a high schooler needs an iPhone. Now, I'm not saying it's sinful, I just don't understand it. I was an assistant pastor in the world's largest church before I ever had a cell phone, and I was doing quite well before then. And by the way, I could throw mine away today and still do fine without it. Say why? Because it's just a tool. And I remember having to have a quarter in your car everywhere you went, or putting one in your shoe so that you had it in your shoe to make a phone call at a paid telephone. I know some of you don't even know what that is. That's okay. Yeah, buddy. Now, Brother Hawkins, that's going way before my time. I remember that it did have the 5, 10, and 25 cent thing on there, but it always cost at least a quarter. Okay? They didn't have penny ones back in my day. Now listen. God's plan for growth for Grace Baptist Church is going to be by little and by little. Say why? Because we have to grow into the work. Guess what? We got plenty of building space to grow into. But I hate to tell you, next month we're not going to build that into a 4,000-seat auditorium and fill it. Unless some of you really get busy. Say why? Because we're going to grow little by little. Let me share with you God's plan for growth. God is the only one that can bring growth. Did you hear that? God is the only one that can bring growth. If you want to take your Bible and you can turn there quickly, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. I want you to notice something. If you planted seeds, it was God that grew them, not you. If you plant a tree, you didn't grow it, God grew it. Guess what, mamas and daddies? You don't grow your children, God does. Do you know you can sit there and say, I'm going to grow, 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 all you want, and you're not going to grow? This way. You have the ability to grow other ways. But you're not going to grow up on your own. It is God that grows everything in the world. The Bible says virtually the same thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 12. We won't take time to turn there, but it says that it is God that groweth things. Do you know that you can't add one speck of growth to your body vertically on your own? It is God that does that. And you know, most of you, it took 16, 18, 19 years before you quit growing. Then after you hit 40, you try to quit growing the other way. Now, wait a minute. You cannot grow a plant. A farmer does not grow a crop. God does. A farmer can till the soil. He can put the right fertilizers in. He can put the right seed in. But even a farmer cannot grow one single plant. It is God that gives the increase. I was finalizing some tree stands for deer season coming up next Saturday. Amen. And the farmer was out, and I noticed the one field we hunt, he had just planted it. Just put barley in. I'm thinking, yeah, a couple weeks, it's going to be up, and they're going to be standing on their heads right underneath my stand. Amen. I said, Bill, we're about to get some rain. He said, yeah, I just hope it doesn't come all at one time. That's not going to be good. He said, I'd like for it just to come a little at a time so it waters the seed and sets it, but if it all is a gully washer, he said, I got to replant. And I said to him, I said, yeah, I said, there's very little you can do at that point, isn't it? And in his own little wisdom, he said, yeah, it's all up to God after that. Boy, that's a wise statement. Growing of the crop is all up to God. Now, listen to me. You can't grow your dog. You can't grow your cat. Can't grow your chicken or your goat. I'm in West Virginia, amen. Came on the church property this morning. There's about 15 chickens running around the backside of the property over here. First time we saw this building, there was 5 chickens sitting in the nursery window. The owner said, what are they doing here? I said, you're in West Virginia. Don't worry about it. We're having dinner on the grounds, amen? If I can catch them, I'm going to eat them. Now, wait a minute. You can't grow your dog. You can't grow your cat. God is the one that brings all growth. Number 2, we provide the ingredients for growth, but growth is up to God. Do you know that the only thing you can do is provide the ingredients for growth? If a farmer goes out and walks his fields and says, okay, God, bring in the crop, but he doesn't plow, he doesn't harrow the field, he doesn't plant the seed, guess what? He's not going to have any crop. He's got to go out and provide all the ingredients and let God do the rest. Can I tell you something? It is your job to provide the ingredients for growth and let God do the rest. Grace Baptist Church, we cannot grow the church. It is His church. He will grow His church His way in His timing. It's all we have to do is provide all the ingredients and watch God do the rest. That means we show up to Sunday school, go to Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, Wednesday night church. We go out soul winning. We invite people to church. We read our Bible. We pray and we fellowship with our God. And guess what? If we provide all the ingredients, look what God can do. It's when we don't provide the ingredients that we cannot grow. I have to give soul winning for God to increase our church. I have to give helping poor and needy people for God to bless our church. By the way, that's what He wants you to do as well. I have to tithe. By the way, I have to tithe just like you do. You say, why? Because that's God's plan. I have to love people. Sometimes I have to love people I think are hard to love. But I still have to love them. And by the way, I do. I have not met the person yet that I don't love. Now, some are a little harder. Some are really a test. That lady at the DMV this week was a test of my love. Oh, but we got through it, amen? Now, wait a minute. That means I have to forgive. Do you know that I must forgive whether I want to or not? Did you catch that? Whether I want to or not. The Bible says that I'm supposed to bear other people's burdens. That little pad of paper that you got, our theme verse for our church is my life's verse, Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You say, why? I want this place, I want Grace Baptist Church to be a hospital where sick people come, not a museum where we hang relics on the wall. This is a place where broken people come to get their heart mended, not a place where perfect people come, which there are none, to show off what they are. Say, well, I heard about your church. It's full of sinners. You guessed her, Chester. And I'm probably the chief of all of them. It is a place we go to get our needs met by God because we know we're sinners. Guess what? That means I have to pray. Guess what? That means I must be separated. It is up to me to provide the ingredients for God to give us growth. Can I tell you something? Grace Baptist Church is growing. Come tonight, I can prove it to you. I shared with a couple preacher friends of mine just a few of the things God has done in our church over the last 12 months. Every preacher that I've shared those numbers with, this is exactly what they said. Proof's in the pudding and God's hands on that place. That was a direct quote from one of them. Guess what? God's hand is upon us. Say why? We're providing the ingredients and God provides the rest. Say some days are up, some days are down. Isn't that like life? The deacons will tell you, I don't get real jazzed out about anything. Every once in a while we'll have a lower offering than usual. And they'll say, preacher, I said, it's okay. It'll be okay. Say why? Because it always, God works it out. Always. You say what? It's his work. We're providing the ingredients and letting God do the rest. Can I tell you something? Number three. We have to obey the rules for growth, but God provides the growth. Can I tell you something? As your children grow up, if all you do is feed them sugar, they're not going to grow like they should. I just read in the paper this week, or in the news, they did a laparoscopic surgery on a 3-year-old because he weighed 83 pounds. The world's youngest laparoscopic surgery. An 83 pound. Folks, I didn't weigh 83 pounds when I hit junior high. I'm not kidding. Now, wait a minute. A 3-year-old just turned 3. 83 pounds. I hate to tell you, and I don't like hearing this any more than anybody else because I've got the same problem everybody else does. You know, I got that Chester drawers disease. My chest done fell in my drawers, amen? Got to pick it back up. Now, wait a minute. I do know this. The size of this is in direct relation to what goes in here. And to some degree, the health of what goes on inside my body is in direct proportion to what I put in the pie hole. Amen? Now, wait a minute. You can't grow your way. You have to obey God's way. Boys and girls, you're not supposed to eat Twinkies for breakfast, cereal for lunch, and chocolate cake and ice cream for supper, and that's all you have. Can I tell you why? You're going to be sick and not grow the way you're supposed to grow. You got to eat some of those nasty vegetables. Now, don't cook them, and I'm okay, but boy, I hate those things mushy. Say why? There's just some things in life God didn't want mushy. Okay? I think you ought to eat as healthy as you can. I think that you ought to be eating the right foods. I'm for you eating your vegetables, and I think you should. By the way, I do too. There's some of them I eat I don't like. Say, which ones? I'm not telling you because I'm going to eat them whether I like them or not. Now, there are a few of them I'm not eating. Okay? Those stupid little cabbages, Brussels sprouts. Asparagus. You can have all that you want. Okay? You can say, oh, that's good stuff. You suck it down. I'm not. Okay, you give me a rare deer steak any day and you can eat your asparagus. God said rise, kill and eat, not rise, pick and eat. Now, wait a minute. But God gave it to us to eat. Listen to me. If a farmer goes out right now and plants corn, guess what? He's not going to have any corn, is he? Say why? He's not obeying the laws of growth. You don't plant corn in the fall and hope it comes up in the spring. You say, that's stupid. Yeah, you have to follow the rules and obey the laws of growth. You know, we don't grow palm trees around here for a reason. It gets a little too cold. You go up north where my in-laws live. You say, where's that? The North Pole. Minnesota. Up in northern Minnesota where they live, you can grow aspen trees, birch trees, and pine trees, and nothing else grows. It is September, folks. They were in the 30s in late August. Their growing season stopped in August. They had frost. They had killing frost already. Their highs have been in the 40s for the last 2 weeks. Not their lows, their highs. Coldest morning we had here has been their highest temperature in the last 2 weeks. Say, why do they live there? I don't know, but I'm glad. Now, wait a minute. We get along better that way. I don't understand that, but it's true. Now, wait a minute. You can't plant certain crops in certain climates. You can try, but you're wasting your time and your money. You know, there's a reason we don't have orange trees around here. Say why? They won't grow in our climate. Now, you can try. You put it in your house and put the right kind of lighting on it and the right kind of heat, you might get it to grow, but plant outside, it's not going to work for you. Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, we found out in America, if all you do is grow and grow and grow and grow and you don't condition the soil, you won't be able to grow crops again either. That's why George Washington Carver discovered what we call crop rotation. That's why a farmer's fields rotate the crops from year to year, so you don't take the soil and all the nutrients out. You plant different crops in there to change. And by the way, they change the direction they plant the fields as well. Say why? Because that helps in the putting the nutrients back into the soil, not just the types of plants. Number four. Growth, listen to this statement. Growth is not an indication of success or failure. Growth, listen to me, growth is not an indication of success or failure. There are people in life that don't grow like they're supposed to. We call them midgets or little people or whatever you want to call them. I don't know if midget's a bad term politically correct anymore, but that's what I grew up with. I'm sorry. If I offended somebody, that's life. Say, what happens? They are a complete person, but they're just not as big as they're supposed to be. Do you know, I've met people that are that tall, that are older than me. Say, something's wrong. No, they just didn't grow like everybody else did. Does that make them less of a person? Huh. I know some of them that are very successful people. I took the seniors on their senior trip this year. We were down at the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum. They have a wax figure of the world's tallest man. He was about 9'3", 9'4", giant of a guy. You walk up and get your picture taken next to this thing, and his belt is about that high. Okay, you're looking up at his belt. He wore like a size 38 shoe. His shoe would cover the pulpit here. I mean, it's huge. Now, wait a minute. Does that mean he was more successful than we are because he grew taller? So growth is not an indication of success or failure. Listen to this statement. Do you know that small trees can bear fruit too? We can't judge growth because growth is up to God. Do you know, I have no right to judge how successful or how much of a failure Brother Logue is spiritually. That's God's business, not mine. Amen. I don't have to judge Donnie's growth. I don't have to judge Jeff's growth or Brother Jimmy's or Mrs. Lowther's growth? You say, why? Because growth is up to God. Why? And I've heard preachers say this my whole life, and I cringe every time I hear it. Well, we can't judge, but we can be a fruit inspector. That's a lie out of hell. Because there are things that bear fruit that you don't even see. Why are we trying to play God and judging everybody else? Why don't we get alone with God, look at ourselves with God, and say, I need to grow with you, and it doesn't matter what others are doing. That's God's plan for growth. You know that most growth cannot be seen anyway? Hey, as your children grew up, did you ever notice it seems like overnight they just took off? Now, they didn't, but you couldn't see the growth. You can drive by a farm every day, and you know the field is growing, but you don't notice it till it's grown. You don't see the daily growth. You can't even hardly measure it. But guess what? Most real growth is almost unmeasurable. It happens so slow. By the way, a marriage will grow. And it grows slow. My wife and I have been married 24 plus years. Can I tell you something? Our marriage has been growing over 24 years. Say, are you closer now than you were 24 years ago? You better believe it. Say, how could that be? Some of you young folks, you think you're in love. Oh, I just love him. He's such a hunk. Wait till he turns into a chunk. Can I tell you something? Marriages need to grow daily. Bible says in 1 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That term grow means grow like a tree. That means it keeps growing and 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 growing. A tree starts dying when it stops growing. A marriage starts dying when it stops growing. Raising kids starts dying when you stop growing them. When you give up and give in and say, okay, just have it your way. Just do it. No, 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 no. You hang in there. You fight the battle when they're that tall, so you don't have to fight the battle when they're that tall. Say why? Because you've got to grow them into it. Don't give up. Stay on it. Can I tell you something? That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church. He didn't say we would build his church. He said he would build his church. And the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Guess what? It's our job to grow day by day, a little by a little, every day so that we can make things happen for God. We provide the ingredients, we follow the rules, and we let God bring the increase. Boy, that's good. Can I tell you something? If Grace Baptist Church grew by one person a week over the next 10 years, our church would be running almost 700 people. That's one person a week. That's it. I worked for Dr. Jack Hiles for several years. The great First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana, running 24, 25,000 average in church. Brother Hiles pastored that church over 40 years. I heard him with his own mouth say, people think we exploded in growth. He said, over 40 years, that's averaging 10 people a week extra. And he said it didn't start out that way. Do you know how many people that church grew by in the first 4 years he was pastor? Zero. Everybody doing okay? Zero. Then they increased by about 100. Then everybody started growing. By the fifth year, they were running about 1,000. Can I tell you something? The more people that start growing, though, the more our growth takes place. So if we'll just keep on growing. By the way, Grace Baptist Church has grown. From the first Sunday to now, we've increased about 35 to 40%. That's big growth. If you increased your body size by 40%, That'd be a big thing. For some of you, a real big thing. Can I tell you something? Is all we need to do is get one person a week. But if you got 10 people getting one person a week, guess what? That's a lot of people. So God says growth will be a little at a time. Can I tell you why? Because if the children of Israel had gone into the promised land was so successful, the Bible says that the beast of the field would overtake them. They would have been so scattered out that they would not have had the unity. They would not have had the success available to them to handle the success God had laid out for them. They needed time to grow into their success. Guess what? If we started running 500 next week, we're in trouble. I've only got 250 chairs. We've got 4 Sunday school classrooms and 1 auditorium. We're going to have to grow into our success. Everybody doing okay? So we need to grow a little by a little. Boy, that's good stuff. You will grow as a Christian a little by a little. Do you know that if you just got saved recently or you're going to get saved today, we don't expect you to be super Christian next week? I don't expect you to be super Christian. I just want you growing a little at a time. Some of you have been saved a long time and you're going to use this as an excuse. Well, I'm growing, just not growing real fast. For some of you, it's time to get out of the stunted growth and decide you're going to start growing. Can I tell you something? Be patient with new converts. If you're a new Christian, pay real close attention to this. I've been in this work a long time. I watch people. They come to church and they get excited and they're excited about being around God's people and they're excited about the preaching and God starts changing their life and things are going good and all of a sudden something happens and they hit a wall. And they say, wow, I'm not sure if I can do that anymore. And they start doing this. They start moving back. Can I tell you something? When you hit that wall, just keep on going. Just keep on going. Say, well, I don't feel worthy. None of us are worthy. Say, well, I don't feel like I'm close to God. I know this in my life. The closer I get to him, the more I see my sin as it really is. And I don't feel like I should be that good. You know, these people that get up and say, oh, I saw Jesus. Look at me. They didn't see Jesus. Anywhere in the Bible, people got close to God. They said, woe is me, not look at me. Be patient with people. Be patient with yourself. Add a little bit at a time. Some of you coming to church Sunday morning. Great. I'm glad you're coming Sunday morning. Let's try Sunday night. Some of you are coming Sunday morning, Sunday night. Great. Let's add Sunday school to that. Some of you are coming Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning church, Sunday night church. Let's add Wednesday night church to that. Some of you are coming all the time, but you're not going soul winning. Let's add soul winning to it. See, God wants you to add a little bit at a time. Our church is going to grow in many ways. I believe our church will grow in attendance. Yes, it will. But I also believe our church will need to grow in its unity. We have a very unified church. Heard somebody today that came to church and they said, man, couldn't wait to get here just to be around the family. They weren't talking about blood relatives either. It's just that family unified spirit. There's a closeness there our church will grow in. If we have 500 people starting next week, we're going to lose a little of that closeness. If we grow a little at a time, we can grow to where we'll have that closeness at 500. Everybody doing okay? That means this. I think we're going to grow in helping others. We're going to help more missionaries. We're going to help more poor people. We're going to help more of our people in need. We're going to help preachers in need. Can I tell you why? Because we're going to grow with it. We're going to help people weathering the storms of life. The storms of life might not come. They are coming. That means we need to be there, grow, and be strong enough to handle and weather those storms so they can depend on us when those tough times come. You see, too many people in the Christian life are like a child trying to measure every day to see their growth. You're trying to measure yourself every day and you get depressed because, oh, I'm not growing, I'm not growing, I'm not growing, I'm going to give up. Quit measuring yourself every day and just start growing. Quit walking out in the field to look and see if the plant grew another quarter inch overnight. Just start growing. You provide the ingredients, you provide the obedience, and let God do the rest. You see, you can't grow it anyway. God has to grow it. Quit looking for the growth and start looking for the ingredients and the obedience. You know that God had to move us from hotel room to get to this place? Sometimes we were Sunday morning in one church or one building, Sunday night in another. Matter of fact, we showed up a couple Sundays and mornings and nights, and they overbooked the room, and we didn't have a room, but we got a room. Remember cramming 90 people in a room that sat 60? Man, that was miserable. Those are fun memories, though. I'm glad we don't have to do it now. Man, it was hot. Can I tell you something? We had to grow. By the way, we thought we had a building down off of Tabler Station Road. I'm glad God didn't give that to us. Say why? That was only temporary. Then we thought we got a spot at the mall where the old Mountain State University was. We had it all lined up, had papers being drawn up, and lawyers said can't have a church in the mall. I had people mad at me because I wouldn't fight it. I said, no, must be God. Guess what? It was God. He had exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Believe me. I called the people that owned this building about another set of buildings that are over behind the Comfort Inn. They said, nope, those aren't available. But Tracy said, my daddy's got a big warehouse building across from the VA hospital. Are you interested? I needed a building. I didn't care where it was. I said, I'm interested. Let me go look. You deacons know we pulled up and went, shazam. There ain't no way. We walked into this building and we were slobbering. I thought, there's no way. Guess what? We're here. Then I thought, I wonder how long this is going to last. And right now we're in negotiation trying to buy this building. That doesn't happen without God. Say, are you worried about it? Not at all. It's God's house. It's his work. We'll do it his way. We'll grow little by little. By the way, you're looking at a preacher that'll let you grow a little by a little. But I do want you growing. I want you growing. Say why? Because we have to let him decide the growth. Every head bowed, every eye closed. For some of you, you have to provide the ingredients of growth. You cannot grow spiritually unless you have been born again spiritually, because your spirit is dead. That's not according to me. That's according to John chapter 3, what Jesus said. I'd ask that you not look around, no moving. But you say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I know 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die. I don't have any doubts at all. Would you raise your hand, keep your head down, your eyes closed? Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. There were hands that did not go up, and I appreciate that. Who would say, Brother Bush, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven when I die, but if there was a way I could know that, I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else? God bless you. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. The music will begin to play. Those of you that don't know for sure you're going to heaven, this is a place to learn. In about 2 minutes, you could know for sure. It's not by joining this church. It's not by being baptized. It's not by being a good person. Those are things you do. Jesus came and paid your sin debt for you at a place called Calvary. Not only that, but he conquered death and got up out of the grave. He had lived a sinless life in order to do that. And he put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven to take care of your sins. As all you do is by faith accept what Jesus Christ did for you to take you to heaven, and you can be on your way to spiritual life and spiritual growth. Maybe some of you just need to decide, it's time for me to start growing. I'll provide the ingredients and let God take care of the rest, but I haven't been putting all the ingredients in I should.